FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome to the happy hour. I'm DeAndra Cartwright, and I'm so glad that you've tuned in to Guardian Radio 96.9, where it's fresh news, smart talk all day. What we're doing here on the happy hour, just jumping straight into it, is showcasing and highlighting persons and groups, entities in the community that are making positive impact on our social fabric. They are doing the work, and we want to hear more from them. So as you know, we've been doing this for quite a few months at this point. We're almost there to the 1 year. I'm like counting down for it. And today we actually have a surprise in store for you all because we have a jam-packed show. The first half, we're going to be talking with the Caribbean Women in Leadership Bahamas chapter on an exciting program that they've launched with our young girls. Now, usually I'll give you background on there, but I have some fantastic folks here, and I'm just going to let them share with you directly what is it that they're doing. Now, so you have some background as to who I'm going to let you hear from right now. Joining us in studio, we have Sheena Culmer. She's a professional accountant within Seawill, though. She is the treasurer, and she's a member of the external communications and logistic teams. We also have Darnell Osborne. She's a professional CPA, business owner, first female CEO of BPL. And you remember I told you all from last show, we used to have the big peoples on this thing. All right, cool. That's who we have in studio. So she's a member of the Seawill Planning Team, a panel member of the Good Governance Series, and Eagle Young Women's Educational Leadership Participation. What don't you do? We also have Cherise Cox Nodded. She's an attorney and arbitrator. She's the deputy chair of Seawill, and she's a member of their planning and logistics team. I will also say she's also a fellow lover of poetry. That's how we met. I have to shout that out there. And then they're going to be talking to us about their Eagle program. And so that's Encouraging Advancement of Girls in Leadership and Entrepreneurship. It's a four-week education and training experience in the form of discussions of key matters concerning national importance and proposing solutions. And that all sounds very abstract. So we brought the people here so they can tell us. And so, ladies, without further ado, the floor is yours. Tell us, who are you individually? And then tell us, what are you, as in what is Seawill? And then why are you doing this Eagles program?
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, DeAndra. As always, you bring life to everything. This program, before I actually get into the introductions, has actually wonderfully morphed into its third phase now, which is She Leads. But I'll get into the details as to why we had the name change slightly. But basically, essentially, the same issues around leadership and leadership of young women that we're trying to cultivate. But I am so honored today to be representing Seawill, Caribbean Women in Leadership, Bahamas chapter. And to my left is the esteemed treasurer, Ms. Sheena Culmer, who I will let introduce herself and what she does. And of course, to my right is the inimitable and incomparable Darnell Osborne, who I will let introduce herself. Sheena.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So I am Sheena Kalma. I currently serve as treasurer for SeaWorld Bahamas chapter. And in my professional life, I serve as a compliance officer. So today, I just wanted to give you a bit of a background about what Caribbean Women in Leadership is all about. Caribbean Women in Leadership was founded in the Caribbean, as the name certainly implies. It is a nonpartisan and independent organization. Now, the original intent of the women who would have started the organization, actually the concept came about from 1998. It was originally started, the first SeaWorld organization would have started in St. Kitts and Nevis in June in 2019. And the second one would have been started in the Bahamas around November 2019. What actually happened was members of the SeaWorld organization would have reached out to the Department of Gender and Family Affairs. The director at that time would have been Dr. Jacinta Higgs. And they would have shared with her that they were interested in having another chapter established in the Bahamas because the intent was to reach women throughout the Caribbean. So based on their mandate at that time, she was advised to reach out to women who were interested in politics or women who were a part of leadership throughout the Bahamas or certainly wanted to be a part of leadership. And so Dr. Higgs would have reached out to at that time, and a number of women would have come out and started to have meetings to discuss what it was that SeaWorld was all about and whether or not they wanted to be a part of it. So that would have started in November of 2019. There were a series of meetings, and eventually elections were held in January 2020 for the official start of SeaWorld Bahamas chapter.
And if I could jump in, Sheena, just to crow a bit about SeaWorld. Six of the members of parliament, current members of parliament, in fact, took the SeaWorld leadership courses at the time for election preparation. So we all believe that we very much have a hand in the election of these women.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So Darnell, please.
Good morning. I'm Darnell Osborne. I'm a CPA by profession, but like I told someone the other day, I don't feel like a CPA anymore, but that's what that's what I started out as. And I now am president, CEO of two businesses. I have my own consultancy, Citadel Consultants, which morphed into women's leadership event planning, just motivational for young ladies, training young ladies and children. Count me in. My dear friend, Cherise Cox, I won't go into to the history of SeaWorld because both of these esteemed ladies would have been in SeaWorld from the beginning and they quite eloquently describe SeaWorld. But for me, I admired these ladies from a distance and the work that they were doing. And when I suddenly found myself with a bit more time in 2018 whenever it was, I left BBL's board. And I decided to do something positive had to come out of my experience. Mm-hmm. I always look at what can I do next.
Right.
Ms. Cox, she's been a tremendous support to me throughout my ordeal. And she was always very encouraging and keep trying to keep my spirits up and making sure that I didn't forget who I was and nice. What I offered. So for that, I publicly thank her. And so as I morphed into what next and Citadel, I decided SeaWorld deserves some of my time and attention. And so I was quite happy to help. And in particular with the presentation that was made to the Eagles, because I love mentoring women rising to leadership. I've always felt I was leading. My teachers always told me I should lead. They told me I should be a lawyer, actually.
Smart teachers.
But I chose. And one of the things why I like to support women in leadership, and I think we ought to seek to have more women in key roles in the country, and doesn't always mean politics, because people always think that you should join politics. I don't like the dirtiness of politics. Mm-hmm. I am a focused person. I like to get in there. I'm a good business person. I'd like to think and do my work and get it done and do it properly without corruption and without all of that. So I like to try to encourage young ladies to morph into that and not to be a part of the boys' club, but to be authentic and to be different and make a difference. So hence my assistance with SeaWorld, and in particular the Eagles, which is now she leads, and you'll hear a bit more of that, because I do believe women bring a different aspect to leadership.
They do.
We have more empathy. You find that when you give a woman a job to do, she does it, and she does it well. The average woman. I mean, there are exceptions to everything. I'm in any way, I always say this, men should be our allies. I'm not saying that we should all replace men, but I think that we should lead side by side and be valued for what we bring to the table.
And I'll just take a comment from there and flow into the genesis of She Leads, which was, as Darnell and Sheena mentioned, Eagles. Eagles was a concept of, let's see what appetite the public, and in particular the public school, has for, encouraging and coaching young women. So under the auspices of our founding president, Charlene Paul, and the program has been embraced, obviously, by our successor, Robin Lines. We had a program where basically we had, over several Saturdays, young women coming to meet and hear from, on the floor, women in business, like, of course, Darlene.
Darnell.
We had, I'm thinking of too many things, small business lead, Miss Samantha Roll. We had on the program Loretta Butler-Turner, who, by the way, today is actually speaking at the She Leads training with a group of young women. We also had on the program wonderful, incredible women like Miss Joy Jubilu, et cetera. So we actually, and of course, needless to say, the Minister of Education, Glenys Hannah-Martin, and, of course, the incomparable Alison Maynard Gibson, who both obviously spoke about their time, not just in politics, but the leadership broadly, beyond politics, which is, you know, very important for us to expose these young women to leadership of all avenues. Because, I mean, ultimately, you know, there's life after politics, we hope. And so we want to be able to give women the broadest feel and options. I know we're hoping that our chair...
Just about to tell you, we have her on the line.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
We want to welcome with us, and she's down there now. Listen,
yes.
These women are busy making an impact, and we're happy to have quite a few of them in studio, but their group is actually having the session with the young people as we speak. Now, as chairperson, you know, I want to say all of her different titles... But Robin Lines is on the line with us, with I think some of the participants as well. Hello, how are you? And welcome to the happy hour.
Hi, Madam Cartwright. And I want to say good afternoon to all of your listeners. A special good afternoon to the team that's there, Madam Cox and Kalma. I believe Miss Osborne is there as well. So grateful for you guys standing in the gap, because I'm down at the learning resource section with about 20 young women who are in session, and so I wasn't able to pull any of them out. They are in a session with Dr. Rosina Wilshire, who's joining us via Zoom all the way from Barbados, in this second session of our transformational leadership topic. So just talking about the character of a good leader and how we define leadership, how we see it, and how women show up in leadership spaces. And so I had to step outside just to engage on the happy hour. Thank you so much for accommodating us and giving us this opportunity to share.
No, we always will provide that opportunity to SeaWorld, because what you are doing is integral to the progress of this country. And the fact that you focus on women, but also young girls, because a lot of the time we tend to forget that one of the best ways to capture the future of a country is by impacting our children. And so what you are doing is great. I want to know, and I'm sure the listening audience would love to know, what is the demographic of the young ladies that are currently in the program? What are their ages? So we all get a better idea of who exactly is involved in the program.
Well, right now our participants range in age from 15 to 29.
Oh.
15 to 29. Those are the registered participants. But let me tell you, we do have a couple of followers. I wouldn't call them. Calais Felipe is here in session and writing notes. And I say, Doc, now, you may not be that much over 30, which is the which is the maximum age, but you might be a day or two older, so you wouldn't be considered a participant, but she's excited about the information that's being shared and what's being discussed and what is to come. And so we have her and probably about three or four other of our older leading women who are also joining us. But 15 to 29 make up the demographic across a range of young people.
No, then that's fantastic. And I just want to stick a pin so that people understand the impact of what is happening today at your session. Dr. Philippe has worked across the broad spectrum of policy making in this country. She has worked with health issues. She has a cross section of health and the impact of climate change. She has also studied the impact of health and the cross section with gender. So the fact that she is there learning these things and wanting to be exposed to this means that, I mean, for those of us who have done research in this area, that means that you have will have some sort of influence on how policy is enacted. And this is how change occurs, by affecting one individual at a time.
One at a time, one at a time. And you know, one of the things that we're constantly told when we have programs, when we engage with women, when we're talking, et cetera, mentorship. We want access. We want to be able to talk to leading women, to ask them the hard questions, to we need to know how this thing is done. And that's why we've done this. They're actually calling me back now to try to see if I can segue into the Q&A section. We have Madam Loretta Butler-Turner coming in to talk about the pitfalls of leadership, what to avoid in your own character when you are in position of authority. I think that's going to be an exciting last session for today.
I think I need to come down there to do a remote broadcast so we can get this out on airwaves.
You should definitely come. These young women are going to be interviewed by journalists, including yourself. I didn't tell you that yet, but as part of their training, we're doing mock interviews. They're getting some training on speech presentation and writing. At some point, we're also going to take it to the street and do a little bit of data gathering as it relates to how Bahamians feel about certain national issues and stuff like that. And then it's all going to culminate in a mock session in Parliament to be held at a date to be announced in July. So we're working with them, and we intend to try to pour into them as much as we possibly can, because we know that our nation is only as strong as the generation that is going to take it over next. And so we're trying to do our part, and we thank all of our membership and you and other persons like yourself and our corporate support who continue to allow us to do this work.
That's impactful. I feel like I'm in church and I want to wave a hanky to be like, this is what we're out here doing. And I want to commend you, Chairperson Lyons, for what you and your organization is doing. And while we let you go, the ladies here in the studio are going to walk us through the remainder of what this program looks like. How can people get involved, as well as how can they actually sign up to be members of Seawell? Because I know y'all are always looking for members.
I'm actually going to be funded by a U.S. grant that was rescinded after, of course, the new president took office and kind of pulled back on foreign aid and grants and all of that. And so now we're self-funding. So if any of our corporate sponsors are out there and you want to help us participate in terms of our cost, the cost associated with the program, please, if they can call in or give the information to our deputy chair, that's there, Cherise Cox. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought the program was too important to shelf it just because we no longer had the grant. Leading women lead. And so we are pushing on, pressing on, and we're excited.
I love that. I love that. I'm going to toss it over to Cherise so she can actually tell us how can people get in touch with her about how they can fund and what does that look like? Because some people think that it's only massive amounts of money. No, you can offer resources. You can offer time.
That's right.
You have a group of young people who I'm sure they need food.
I want to sponsor.
Exactly.
I want to sponsor the refreshments.
See, I got
because we make sure that there's refreshments at every session.
I love that.
Young women as well.
Well, you enjoy the rest of your session, and we're going to continue this conversation.
Thank you. And listen, continue to stay joyful on the happy hour.
Oh, girl, I try. And some of these people, they'll wait until Monday just to tell me what they have to say. But I am so glad that they respect that we are going to be positive. So that's great. Enjoy the rest of your session, and we're going to get right back to Ms. Charisse.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, you're most welcome. Thank you very much. As Madam Chair indicated, we can be contacted with all of our details via Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Sewell Bahamas. SewellBahamas.com is the website.
SewellBahamasChapter.org.
Yes. Yeah. Could you say it again?
Say it again.
SewellBahamasChapter.org. You can reach out to any one of the executive members.
Yes.
And it's simply a matter of completing the application form. And there are annual fees associated with the different levels of membership.
Y'all are also on Facebook.
Yes.
Very active on Facebook, yes. I must say.
Sewell Bahamas on Facebook.
Now, just very quickly in our last few minutes, because, time flies when you're having fun, right?
It does.
I just wanted to know, are there any additional points that y'all want to get out there during our time together? Because I see we have folders with information. and I know Ms. Osborne is always prepared.
Always. And what Ms. Osborne didn't get the chance to tell you, and what will be also a part of this current She Leads, which is, as Robin indicated, sort of a rebranded previous program. We had a section on good governance, which is really to not just describe the concept, go into details. Ms. Osborne was obviously integral on that first good governance session that we had. We also had Pastor Mario Moxie. He also sat on that panel, also with a representative of Org Bahamas. .com. So we had an excellent panel. Darnell was integral in that, and also in the prior sessions with she led a session on climate change and quite frankly what it meant to the Bahamas, and worst case to the young women, so that they could start thinking about the seriousness of the issue. But before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't bring attention to the public to an absolutely fabulous event we're having on Monday, which is the official launch of She Leads. As Robin mentioned, we had a bit of a setback, but we're not going to be stopped. We're still going to officially launch, even though we've started. As a guest at that event, we're having Dr. Kim Williams-Pulfer, who is a Bahamian professor. She's written her thesis on the Bahamas suffragette movement. We're also having Ruby Ann Darling Cooper, she will be there to speak. Mrs. Davis will be there as well. We've also had, of course, some of the other senators and members of parliament who will also be in attendance. But also, very significantly, we're having the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the original suffragettes also attend the event.
That's really nice.
And our young ladies, the 30-odd of them from She Leads, will also be in attendance. And so it was, I think, very inspirational of Madam Chair to say, let's introduce these to these young women. We're to hear not just in theory what the suffragettes did, et cetera, but also see, touch, feel, hear from their family, hope strong, et cetera. Let them know that we appreciate what their foremothers have done and the benefits of which we reap. I know I've forgotten something, Sheena and Darnell. But please, by all means, jump in.
Actually, I wanted to jump in. When and where is it happening on Monday?
I'm sorry. 6:30 Monday, Edmund Moxie Center, Blue Hill Road, which is right across from AID and Super Value.
Mm-hmm.
So by all means, please. You have a standing invitation. I don't have to tell you, come.
Hey, look at that. I feel important.
But please, by all means, please come. We want to mark these significant journeys. We also have another, we have several upcoming very, very significant things, but I won't discuss them yet.
We got 3 more minutes. Why don't you throw them out there?
Well, let's just say there's going to be a very, very meaningful event in May coming up, where we're going to, again, recognize some amazing trailblazing women in this country that make us all proud. One of the things I think a lot of us were very disturbed at hearing about 5 years ago was a survey that was done at UB, And it was with regard to women leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just, unfortunately, a statistic in the quote-unquote senior levels of the country, but our university students are our supposed best and brightest in leadership. Why it seems so inherently wrong, and male leadership was default, you know, the type of leadership.
It's the intersection of academic and cultural behaviors and understanding.
There you go.
Well said.
So we want to, quite frankly, disabuse most especially the women of that notion, because we are the majority, and if we're being democratic, right, what the majority says should, in fact, carry out. But we want to especially educate all of our women, and more especially to reclaim the past and the positive things that women have done, which have been forgotten. I'll just throw this out there as a figure. There are approximately about 28 knights, as in sirs, and there are only 8 dames.
My. You know, I like statistics. I love numbers. Mm-hmm. That imbalance is curious.
Yes. So let's just say we will be doing something very significant with regard to those women who've come before and who have made a lasting impression on all aspects of Bahamian life, cultural, social, legal, spiritual, and bring them to the fore so that we could be reminded of, quite frankly, what women are capable of. And
we love that. Now, ladies, as we wind down our last minute, what are your closing words? And you know, Sheena's just, every time Sheena comes on my show, I'm like, she's quiet. Then she comes out and she just gives me all of the information. And then she's quiet again. Like, no. So we'll start with you with your last remarks.
Okay. So I want to say, first of all, that I was very excited and fortunate to have participated in the first She Leads program that was held about 2 weekends ago. I was very impressed with the young women who were there. The program was presented, but I was very encouraged by the questions and the comments that we heard from these young women. And it confirmed to me that many of these women are focused and they are poised to take the banner forward. So we are preparing our next generation, and I am so pleased and excited to be a part of this.
Amazing. Ms. Osborne?
Well, I would just like to say, in terms of the focus on the youth and the next generation, and that really is what I'm most excited about. I get that, I guess, from my mother, who loved children. But also, I think for this country and for people who will lead the country, we have to train them about good governance. And that's one of my pet peeves about this country, the Caribbean, everywhere. Unless we train people that when you are in government, you are there to serve the people and do what's best for the majority of the people, then we will continue to have failure, we will continue to be in debt, we will continue to have issues, mental issues, all sorts of social issues. And so for me, being involved with SeaWheel and being a part of the She Leads, I am most interested in training or showing an example of what it is to really truly stand up for good governance. Not just talk about it, but show what it means, because it's a lonely, lonely road sometimes. But we have to be prepared to do it as women. Otherwise, the country will remain the same.
I love that sentiments. And to round it all out in 30 seconds or less, before we go to...
I fully endorse what my two SeaWheel members have said. I think they both hinted at the most important position we all hold in this Bahamas, and that is that of citizen. That has to mean something. And women can't be, and men of course, young boys, shouldn't be pushed into a position of feeling small or that they are not capable of expecting what they ought to expect from their government and from leaders generally across the board. So we want to get people to raise their eyes, raise their expectations, and know what it is that they really ought to be requesting and demanding, quite frankly, of a government. That's the only way it works. You know, we are, my God, 400,000 people. How difficult is it really, should it be, to organize a township? You know, we got to do better, honestly. And this is the time. And women, sorry for those who might be offended. You sent us to school. We're not going to be quiet, you know, nor should we. You should use the full benefit of 100% of the population, including your very well-educated and trained women who are ready to serve. So we thank you for giving us this platform.
Absolutely.
And giving so many other people, you know, the right and opportunity to say what needs to be said. So we thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And I'm happy that you chose to come on the Happy Hour to talk about these things.
Absolutely. And see we look forward.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm already mentally preparing my calendar.
That's great.
That's great. Don't leave me. We're coming right back after this break. We have some important folks here. I think it is from the Office of the Prime Minister. They have several acronyms in their names as well. They're going to talk to us about an important program for our young people. Opportunities. Opportunities. Y'all stay tuned here for the Happy Hour. I'm DeAndra. Don't leave me. I'm serious.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, reading cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. Name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located the Nassau Guardian Building.
Calling all Alive Fiber basketball fans. Get ready to experience the NBA Finals live. You can enter an all-expense-paid trip to not one, but two NBA Finals games. It's simple. Just sign up for our Alive NBA League Pass or Infinite Sports X Package by May 16th. Stay connected, enjoy blazing fast internet, and score your chance to witness the NBA action up close. Don't miss out. Visit AliveFiber.com and take your shot at NBA glory. Terms and conditions apply. It's good to be alive.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Here's a price list of some of the roofing material we carry at Pinda Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply, starting at $36.68. Gray Select Water Shield, 134/20 a rule. Felt, 15 pounds, $16.50. 30 pounds, $19.80. Owens, Corning Duration Shingles, and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, 56-56 a bundle. Gallon of roof cement, $33.47. All sizes treated dimensional lumber. And of course, we have all nails and all screws. We have 5-inch sheetrock, $28.76. Half-inch sheetrock, $22.18. All prices include VAT.
Life with family and friends this Easter at Nassau Cruise Port. Join us for a special Easter Tings brunch on Sunday, April the 13th from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. For $50 for adults and $25 for kids, enjoy delicious pancakes, waffles, mimosas, and more. Bring the little ones to jump around at the kitty corner. Plus, you can shop till you drop in stores like Fahari, House of Assembly, Vida Kaya, with exclusive discounts, a spring fashion show, and exciting contest on Sunday, April the 13th from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Visit Facebook for details.
And we're back with the happy hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is DeAndra Cartwright. I'm so glad you stayed. If you're just joining us, we had the ladies from the Caribbean Women in Leadership Bahamas chapter talking to us about their SHLEAD program. It's for young women ages 16 to 29 who want to learn more about, you know, being better citizens, getting involved in governance, and about policy positions. And what I really think is a fabulous, look them up. They have their website. They're also on Facebook. That is C. Will joining us right now. Yes, and we're going straight into it because I did tell you we have a very exciting program today. We have folks from, we have like three different acronyms, so I just want to make sure I get all of these different acronyms properly. So they're from the Office of the Prime Minister. They are with the Climate Change and Environmental Advisory Unit, CCEAU. They call it, it's another one that they go for, C3. See, it sounds like a rap group, you know? Let them tell you exactly what that is. They have so many acronyms. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't change what they're doing. What they are doing is working on climate change. They're advising on climate change. And they have special niche areas. So I just want to read a bit about who do I have in studio. And we also have somebody joining us on Zoom. And I don't want, you know what, I'm going to talk your business. You could tell us where you is, okay? Because you thought it important enough to join us. And I'm happy that you did that. We have Denzel Colley. He's a climate change officer within the Climate Change and Environmental Advisory Unit over there. And so as a climate change officer in that unit, he brings expertise with a master's of science in environment and sustainability. He also has a bachelor's of science in small island sustainability, marine science, and ecosystems management. That is a mouthful. And I want to know if you went to UB or not. But anyway, moving on. His passion lies in tackling the unique climate challenges faced by SIDS, that's Small Island Developing States, and the nearly 65 million people who call it their home, with a special focus on strengthening food security in the Bahamas. And yes, I could talk fast because I need you all to know who we have here in studio. He's joined, but I got to say it out loud. This is one of my friends from the longest, right? You know, he's big people now, but you know, he remember me. And I was like, happy. I happy he reached out when we found out about this program that we want to get out there, right? So Charles Hamilton is a climate change advisor within the Office of the Prime Minister. So over the past decade, he has worked with the nexus of climate change, global health, and sustainable development issues through various roles and multilateral organizations in the Bahamas, Canada, and Europe. Did I not tell you that these people are important? They're important, but they're some of the most humble folks I've ever met in my life, I promise you. So Charles has supported the Bahamas in regional and international climate change negotiations. He's also, you know, his background, just so you know, because inside some of those negotiations, he's worked with CARICOM, he's worked with AOSIS, who is the Alliance of Small Island States. This goes into the land of the United Nations and all of those things and whatnot. So he's done work all around the world, but we have him here at home, and he's trying to do his part here at home. He obtained a Bachelor of Science degree from the University of Guelph and a double master's degree with distinction from the University of Sheffield and I promise you I haven't had enough coffee to Jagiellonian University in Poland and looks forward to the empowerment of Bahamians in climate change advocacy as we sit on the front lines of climate crisis. And that's what they're here to talk to us about. How can you help them fight climate change as young people? And as one of those young persons that are involved with this, we have Javon Sands, and he's joining us on Zoom. He is the Male Climate Change Youth Ambassador for 2024-2025. I'm so impressed with his background. I don't think we even have time to say everything, but just so you know, Javon is a youth climate change advocate, leveraging his talents as a researcher, organizer, artist, writer, and poet. What don't you do to promote climate justice for the Bahamas, the Caribbean, and other small island developing states? So his toolkit includes skills gained from an undergraduate degree in applied physics. I want y'all to count with me. That's one. Insights from current graduate studies in environmental change and management at the University of Oxford. That's two. Connections from his involvement in training and professional development programs like the Caribbean Climate Justice Leaders Academy. That's three. The Global Action Process. That is four. XB Climate Advocates. That's five. And the Commonwealth Climate Change Youth Negotiators Programs. That's six, amongst others. Do you sleep, Javon? I need to know. He's taken the stage to speak, present, and perform and host events nationally. He's also done regional events over there in Antigua and Barbuda with SIDS 4. And then he's also done global work, and he's been over there in Baku, Azerbaijan at COP. His work at home has fostered connections with various NGOs, civil society groups, and the media. As he continues to contribute to national efforts to promote climate change, adaptation, and resilience, Javon is dedicated to building networks across our archipelago that educate and upskill youngins, let's say young people like on Long Island, sorry, in order to build capacity to fight climate change on our shores. My Lord, this is a powerhouse we got here. Javon, I just want to make sure, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here and I can hear you. Thank you so much for having me.
Happy to have you. I always feel like a seance when we ask that on Zoom. Are you there? So jumping in right in there, and I don't want to take up any time. I don't want y'all to hear my voice anymore. Charles, why are you and Denzel and Javon here today?
Sure. So we are here today, Bahamas. And DeAndre, thank you so much for having us on and, you know, being able to continue this work that Guardian's been doing for 13 years. But pivoting from that, we are on here because Bahamian youth, there's an opportunity for you to be the next youth climate change ambassador. The application has been ongoing since March, and it's going to close April 22nd. And we're on this program. So you have the talent, that you have the passion and the drive to represent young people here in the Bahamas and abroad. We want you. So don't delay. You need to apply today. And I believe that my colleague here, Denzel Colley, is going to tell us a bit more of where you can find the application. And Javon can share a bit more about the experience, but why you should be the next youth ambassador.
I love that. So Denzel, tell us, how do we find this application?
So you can find the application on all of our social media. That is Facebook. That is, let me get it correct now.
Yes, please.
C2EAU. That's Facebook, C2EAU. Instagram, CCEAU. And you can contact us at 702-5500. 702-5500. Or you can email us at, let me get that email, youthclimatecompetition@bahamas.gov.bs. So you can find all of that information there. Our flyer is online on our socials. It will take you to a Google form, and the Google form will then show you how much you need to bring to the actual application. So the application involves five things: a valid Bahamian passport, a resume. You would need three references, and we would like to see at least one professional reference, two academic if you can. If you do not have a professional reference, because we know persons from high school.
I was just going to say, so the high schoolers got them working already?
We just need some references. So your teachers, okay, whoever, your pastors, we need a good character reference. Then we have an essay prompt that will be about climate change, culture, and heritage.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I love that intersection.
This is this year's prompt. And the word count for that is a minimum of 1,200 and a maximum of 1,500.
There. Okay, they got it.
These are smart, young, brilliant Bahamian youth that will be, applying. And then finally, we're going to ask them to provide us with at least 6 months of a work platform. So if they were to be chosen, what would they want to bring to the table? How do they see themselves actually working in the climate space and providing change for the country?
That is powerful. I love that. Impactful platforms ahead of your application. What do you choose to do? Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yes.
Now, I know online, we have Javon, you're already in the space. So how did tell us about the application process, about how it felt to be selected, and how has it made you feel? Knowing that you've made an impact as a young person in the climate change field?
Of course. So I'll start with the application process for me. It actually goes back from before the year where I got selected. So I applied the year before, and that was on the heels of me doing my undergraduate research project on climate adaptation and resilience in SIDS after attending my first COP in Egypt. And I had to present my research in multiple spaces in order to complete the research project. And one of those spaces was with the CCAU and the SDG unit through a virtual presentation. And it was recommended that I apply to this climate change ambassador program. And so, I put in the application, didn't get selected that year. The following year, I was speaking with a environmentalist from the US, Wawa Gathru. And she was telling me about her good friend, who was one of the climate change youth ambassadors, and about the program that I should apply again. And that time I made sure to submit my application well in advance and multiple times leading up to the application deadline, just to make sure that they didn't pass me up this time. And so getting selected was truly a really great, great feeling, because for the longest time, I was hoping to break into the space of climate justice, climate action work right at home from our shores, where that work is most needed. And so that was a really fulfilling experience to have the opportunity to represent our country and to do work locally, regionally, and internationally for this work for SIDS, for Small Islanders. And then the experience of following through on the platform, delivering on my personal goals and professional goals with this experience, was a challenging road, as it should be, because oftentimes when I give presentations on climate change, I'd like to leave the fact that this is a complex problem and any attempts to simplify it is not doing it justice. Mm-hmm. And so I welcome the challenge and I continue to deliver my platform throughout the year in many different spaces. I mean, the CCEAU had us all over the place. We was in Antigua and Barbuda. We was with the Commonwealth people in London. We was in Azerbaijan, all the way across the world, all the way on the other side of the world. And with us, we carried Bahamian culture and heritage. So I'm also really excited about the topic for this year. I think it's really important to make those kinds of connections, because that's what's important for Bahamian youth, both understanding the past and preparing for the future, which is exactly what that topic seems to bring together.
I love the depth that you went in, and I am happy that you mentioned those young folks. You get discouraged by not getting the opportunity the first time around. Mm-hmm. The fact that you endeavored and you tried again, and what you've done since that time, academically, professionally, in this space, is incredible. So I want you to talk a little bit more about what do you think it means to a young person to have this opportunity?
Yeah, so I think in one sense, it means that you have a whole lot of responsibility, a national responsibility. And it's something that both separates and connects you to your peers. So you would be sort of a leader in the Bahamas, but also a global youth leader. And that comes with a lot of responsibility. You meet so many interesting people and you get to understand this problem from so many different perspectives and integrate that into your own work and bring all of that energy, bring all of those perspectives back home to channel into interesting initiatives, to channel into your personal platform. So it's definitely a huge responsibility, but it's really important for young people to know that with this responsibility, you also gain community. You gain a strong sense of community that's just grounded at home. You learn about people working on all aspects of this problem right there at home that you may never have heard of before until you got into this space. And then you're learning about all the work they're doing. You're learning about how you can engage with each of those parts, because your role is really to be a bridge between these different areas of work so that you can have a national action plan moving forward throughout your platform and your experience in the role. And so it's really important to understand those two aspects. You have that responsibility beyond our shores, but you also have that huge sense of community behind you locally that is sort of driving your work both nationally and internationally.
I love that. And because it's important, because a lot of programs that you have out there, they're more performative, right? They're topical, but in the role of a climate change ambassador for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you are incredibly active. You go on these mission trips with the Prime Minister, with the relevant authorities, to be a part of the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. That's quite heavy. And I know, Charles, you've been in so many negotiations. You've seen how these young people have been able to operate and what doors have opened for them. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, indeed. I think that one of the things that I said was that this ambassadorship, it is not about token. It's about ensuring that young people feel empowered. And so one of the areas that that Ambassador Sands has managed to be a part of in COP, we actually had him following the GST's sort of global stock take process, which is showing where are we at in terms of, since the Paris Agreement came in, what have we done to actually achieve those goals and what needs to be done to close that gap. And Javon can tell you until late at night, just like the rest of us negotiators as well, right? Because this, as citizens of small island states, we're at the front lines of the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. And so we can't afford, while other countries, bigger countries, can have persons who can sit in the room and tap out and be able to change their persons. No, it's only a few of us sitting in the room. And we have to be able to capture the information, make our stances known, and to know, hey, we're not going to sit here and just take what's happening. And so Javon has done a good job. Wenisha Saunders as well, who is our female youth ambassador, has also done a good job in these roles. And we want to get another pair here. Deandra, I can say something that's going to connect to your heart. I love our ambassadors and the work that they've done. But I want to see a youth ambassador from one of the family islands.
There you
come
go.
On, right?
There you go, because you know I was coming. I was like, look, where's the love for my family islands?
Look here, right? Whether it is from Long Island, whether it is from Abaco, whether it is from Inagua, young people, do not say that the opportunities are not there. I know we're about to go into Easter break. Some of you may have already entered it, but you have about 10 days to get this application process go. And I know I've seen young people pull off less things, mm-hmm. you know, in like mm-hmm. 10 days. So go on Instagram, pull out your phone. I know you're on TikTok now. I know you're looking at something trapsy now. Go on Instagram at CCEAU Bahamas. And you can go on Facebook. I know some of us older ones might be on Facebook. But C2EAU, or Environmental Advisory Unit, you'll find us online.
Yes.
Go on the page. You'll see the application. Don't delay. Start today. I want some family islanders to join the ranks of the fourth iteration of our youth climate ambassadors. Apply today.
Now, you're going to hear that, especially y'all Long Island people listening to me. Y'all hear that? All right.
Look here, and I can say this as well, because people, they always say, man, I didn't get picked. Javon had to apply twice to get picked. And guess what? People who have come up to me, I've had people come up to me and say, man, Charles, you only select my friend, or you only select my nephew. Or you only... Well, like, Charles Hamilton had nothing to do with the selection. We actually outsource the selection. They're reviewing.
No bias.
They're interviewing.
Love that.
All of that goes outside of our office, because we don't want to be, like, some of these people may be familiar to us. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we've actually had where people recused themselves from the panel list because they said, I know this person, I cannot effectively judge and evaluate this person. So guys, it ain't us. Put in your application, put your best foot forward. If you don't get selected this year, try again, because Javon got selected the next year. Go on CCEAU Bahamas or go on C2EAU on Facebook and apply today. Don't say I ain't tell ya.
Because you were warned, Bahamas. You were warned.
I like that. I like that. So as we wrap up, Javon, we just want to thank you so much. I just curious, are you over there inside the dreary environment over there in England or where may you be?
Yeah, I'm currently in England. We're on break, and the sun is coming out here. So
that's because you're there. We bring sunshine everywhere we go.
A rare occasion.
We want to say thank you so much for joining us and hear how passionate these folks are about this program. I mean, we have somebody in England who's the current ambassador for this program, tuning just so you can hear from him about the importance of the program, the importance of applying, and the reality, don't give up. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. As a country, we are impacted by climate change every single day. So the opportunity to be a part of what our country decides to do to combat that, this is important. And we want to commend the government for actually undertaking such a program and giving the platform for the critical input for our youth. So just before we round out in this last 30 seconds, Charles Denzel, anything else you want to say?
Apply today. Don't delay. April 22nd, right around the corner.
At 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
Applications closed. Do not say that we did not warn you. Mm-hmm. You will not regret it.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Wonderful. Well, we want to thank the entire crew. That's His Excellency Javon. Thank you so very much for joining us. Denzel, pleasure. Charles, thank you so much. And we wish you the best of luck in the application receipt process. And we know lots of the young people are going to take advantage of this opportunity. We have it posted on our Facebook pages, on our Instagram pages. We're going to put up more links after today's session. But check out the Happy Hour on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're going to put it all there. Now ask, sorry, so that you can follow up about this opportunity. Don't delay. Apply today. I like that. I feel like a radio I am.
Yeah.
This has been the Happy Hour here on Guardian Radio 96.9. This is Deandra. Thank you again for staying here with this show. And don't go anywhere, because right after this, we have Tele to Stanya with Stanya Davis. So don't leave us.
of you now. Cause hopelessly, the hopeless we have.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
AP News for Friday, April 11th. I'm Ben Thomas. Markets saw massive swings over the course of the week, and with China hiking tariffs on U.S. goods to 125%, Friday was no different. Seth Sutel has Wall Street's close.
The falling value of the dollar and other swings in financial markets suggest that worries about President Trump's trade war remain high. The S&P 500 rose 1.8% after veering between more gains and losses in what has turned out to be a historic week. The S&P gained more than 5% for the week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average also swung between losses and gains before closing up 619 points, about 1.6%. The Nasdaq rose 2.1%. Treasury yields climbed in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury rose to 4.49%. Seth Sutel, New York.
Gary Schlossberg at Wells Fargo.
Bond yields going up and the dollar going down, that means that investors are pulling out of the U.S. market.
An immigration judge has ruled student activist Mahmoud Khalil can be deported. Ed Donahue has details.
Khalil is a legal U.S. resident and took part in pro-Palestinian demonstrations on the Columbia campus. He isn't accused of breaking any laws. A judge in Louisiana ruled the government's contention Khalil's presence in the country potentially serious foreign policy consequences.